Hi listeners, we're going to have a regular episode out for you a bit later this week. In the meantime, I wanted to share a slightly different piece of content. Basically, we've been experimenting with a new format in our daily newsletter at The Maple, where we reach out or we put a call out to our readers to provide their thoughts, opinions, their experiences on a certain issue or topic that's prescient in the news cycle at any given time. So what we recently did was report on a Statistics Canada report about the amount of properties owned as investment properties in the Canadian housing market. And so we asked our listeners to kind of share their thoughts on that and to propose what they see as potential solutions to the housing crisis, which is worsened by the kind of financialization of the housing market, where property is purchased primarily for generating income or profit rather than for actually living in as a primary residence. So this is a kind of taste of what you get if you are a subscriber to The Maple. So a lot of you, I think, are just listeners to the podcast and don't necessarily read our daily content on these kinds of issues. But hopefully this will kind of give you a sense of like what you get when you become a part of our community over at The Maple. We really like to engage with our readers. We like to have a closer relationship with our readers than this kind of just impartial, you know, I'm putting out content and not hearing back from readers at all. This is why we regularly solicit feedback from our readers, but also direct comments, as in this case. And what I think this does is really fosters a kind of healthy community of discussion and debates. Like, we want contact with our readers and we want to understand how they feel about issues and to ensure that that is reflected in our reporting on these kinds of topics. So if that sounds like something that might be interesting to you, that you'd like to be a part of, if you're not already a subscriber, please go over to readthemaple.com and you can click subscribe. You have two options. Basically, you can sign up for our free newsletter in which you get a kind of taste of our content. Sometimes you get, you know, a couple of newsletters per week if we've put out a couple of really big stories. Or you can become, for $7 per month, a paying subscriber. And by doing that, you get a daily newsletter, which is all of our content, all of our original news reporting, and all of our original in-depth news investigations. And on top of that, of course, you'll be helping solve the crisis in journalism in Canada by supporting 100% reader-funded, independent, non-profit journalism. So let's go over to what we've got this week. So from the readers, we basically heard what their thoughts were on real estate investors fueling the housing crisis. So here's a quick summary of what they had to say about that. As The Maple recently reported, recent data from Statistics Canada showed that in 2020, one in five houses and condos were used as investment properties in British Columbia, Manitoba, Ontario, New Brunswick, and Nova Scotia. In Ontario, 41.9% of condos are investment properties, the highest share of any province. StatCan also cited a report that found rising levels of property owned as investment assets have contributed to higher housing costs in the United States. What do our readers think of this issue, and what are some solutions to the housing crisis? Here's what they told us. Marie in Nova Scotia said large real estate investors are picking the bones of struggling Canadians who are left with few housing options amid this country's tight market. She explained, quote, "Even my landlord, who has 50 properties, is looking to unload onto another, larger investor. What will happen to me then? Never mind the thousands of students we brought to this island only to make them homeless. It is shameful." Marie said existing buildings should be rapidly converted into affordable housing units. Quote, "If a building is run down by lack of use, eminent domain should be put into practice to have the buildings retained by the municipalities. They are left just rotting there, useless. That would take care of the eyesore buildings as well as provide affordable housing and employment opportunities for communities while being converted." Alan pointed out that the problem of investors eating up housing supply is not only limited to condos. As a result of rising costs and the financialization of housing, home ownership is well out of reach for many Canadians. Quote, "A portion of the population either will never be able to afford to buy a home or doesn't want to own one. These lifelong renters are also caught in the spiral of forever increasing prices for rent. One wonders where the low-paid workers that occupy jobs in downtown areas of cities, in retail sales, including grocery stores, in restaurants and other businesses, will live in the near future." Alan also noted that the idea that real estate investors will voluntarily help solve the housing crisis is a myth. The principal, if not only goal of investors and promoters is to make as much money as possible, as quickly as possible. And preoccupation for a social issue appears to be totally irrelevant to them. Debbie in Ontario said she'd like to see prospective non-investor homebuyers be given priority for housing purchases over investors, but acknowledged that it is unlikely that an effective system to that end could be put in place. She added, "It took 2 years for my daughter to buy a house, and as parents, we had to help, and we've spent 2 months of labor fixing it up. Meanwhile, our two investor neighbors, three adults in total, have almost 10 homes between them and wouldn't give her a deal, and gouged others by over $150,000 to make the big profit." Jim, also in Ontario, said he is most concerned about investors buying up detached, semi-detached, and row housing, and hopes there is some way the federal government can limit the amount of supply that such investors can accumulate. Carly, meanwhile, said she has no faith that either the federal or provincial governments will take meaningful action, adding that Conservative Party leader Pierre Poilievre uses right-wing buzzwords instead of proposing effective solutions for housing. Carly explained, "How on earth are young people supposed to afford to buy a house or even rent anything? It's deplorable. I'm a senior, and if something were to happen health-wise, where would I go? I own my house, but would be unable to afford rent as it's more than our mortgage payment." Janet in Nova Scotia said the roots of the problem are traceable to the federal government's cancellation of spending on public housing programs in the 1993 budget. She added, quote, "I have no idea how any politician can face their constituents when their decisions over these 40 years have forced Canadians to live on the streets and others who can't find a decent place to live." Kathy in Ontario asked, "Who are the investors of condos and other housing? What is the breakdown between ordinary citizens who may own one or two houses and companies that own many more?" These are great questions. Here's what StatCan's data tells us. The breakdown of investor types varies from province to province. According to a chart that they shared in the report, the largest share of investors were individuals residing in the same province as where their property was located. The province with the largest proportion of businesses as property investors, 3%, was Manitoba. And the province with the largest share of non-resident investors, i.e. those who do not live in Canada, was Nova Scotia. Speaking of absentee owners, Angie, who sits on the board of directors of her condo community, told us that the majority of units in her community are now owned by corporations. This creates problems for getting quorum for strata meetings. Angie explained, "Renters are not allowed to participate in meetings or discussions, irregardless of how long they have lived in their community. It is difficult to foster relationships within our community and to maintain the common areas when the residents are not allowed to be involved and the unit owners are not engaged with the community." She added, "I think the government should support local ownership versus foreign ownership. I think a limit on rental price increases would make a huge difference in a world trying desperately to catch up to pre-pandemic times." So those were some of the thoughts shared by our readers. Just to remind you, if you want to become involved with this kind of community of dialogue and discussion and opinion regarding our regular news reporting, you can head over to readthemaple.com and press subscribe. Thanks very much for listening.